You're listening to a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more audio and visual content, visit streamschurch.org.
We talked about some great news last week that I have discovered through the study of ancient manuscripts. I've discovered an ironclad investment strategy that is simple, and I guarantee a 100% return, and it's been proven again and again and again throughout the ages. It's secure, zero risk. It doesn't cost you anything. And the problem that we've seen in investments we've been talking about is that we have this tendency to live for today, that we get very myopic on today. And it's hard to connect that the investments that we make today, the impact that we'll have in the future dividends that we'll have. So the problem is this: when it comes to investments and finding the right place, is we need to understand you can't make a withdrawal on something you haven't invested in. And the investments today will always determine the withdrawals you can make in the future. And this principle that I'm talking about, this investment principle, is found in Galatians chapter 6. And I'll read it to you. It's not on the screen, but I'll read this to you real fast. Verse 7, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us, and you can almost put a therefore in there, therefore let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong in the family of believers. And so this ironclad investment strategy is called the life principle, and it's the principle of sowing and reaping. And it's a universal principle, just like gravity. And so we learn that it applies to everyone, and the principle is immutable. It cannot be changed ever. We will reap what we sow. If you sow to righteousness, the scripture says you get life. If you sow to the flesh, it eventually results in destruction. The other thing we learn is we always reap more than we sow. I was thinking about this when I talked about this last week, and I was thinking this week about it. Did you know that one corn kernel, it's hard to say fast, right? One corn kernel produces one plant, and the average cobs is two cobs on one plant. It doesn't seem like a lot. But each cob averages 800 kernels. So planting one successful kernel could produce 1,600 more kernels and 1,600 more corn stalks and 3,200 more cobs and 2.5 million more kernels from one successful planted seed. And we need to understand that the seeds you plant, right, the seeds that you sow, the investments you make, multiply tremendously when it comes to the kingdom of God. So we always get more than we reap. It's a spiritual principle. The other thing is we reap later than we sow. And so some of us think, well, that principle is not true because I sowed these seeds and I didn't get an immediate result. And that's what the scripture says. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, at the right time, the harvest comes in. And so don't get weary in doing that. And the person who thinks that these principles don't apply to them, the scripture says you're being deceived. And really, you're mocking God. Because this is an undeniable spiritual law of the universe that you can see everywhere all the time. God always blesses those who sow to the Spirit. Those who sow to the flesh eventually reap death and destruction. And God always gives at least 100% return on all the investments. And you need to have the faith to believe that. Otherwise, you get tired and you get weary and then you give up. Investing for the future is an easy thing to do, but it's one of the hardest things to believe because we look for today. We have been forever changed if you're sitting here today because of the grace of Jesus Christ. And we're commanded as believers to make financial investments into the kingdom so that others might be saved. And you're sitting here today because somebody understood that years ago. And they gave to this church, or they gave to a minister, or they gave to a place where your parents came to faith. Somebody somewhere understood that. They sowed financially in the kingdom one kernel of corn. And this is the result. And your family has been radically changed by one seed. At Streams, we're talking about we're presently investing financially in the new children's building and our children's ministry. And we introduced last week, if you didn't get to meet her, Brittany Malik, who's now our full-time dedicated children's pastor and family life pastor. And man, she's just a fireball. We're excited. She's got ideas, and it's just a lot of fun to be around. Somebody's in their 20s with a lot of energy and ideas. Because tomorrow I turn like 37, and you'll be like 27 today, right? Yeah, that's exactly what we thought, right? So we learned something in Matthew 25. Matthew 25 talks about the man, the master who leaves, and he hands off 5 bags of gold to one person and 2 bags of gold to another person and 1 bag of gold to the third person. And he was expecting that when he returned, that those bags of gold were going to be invested. And everybody did except Mr. One Bag. Remember Mr. One Bag? He was afraid. He did not understand that it wasn't even his bag to begin with. You're not even investing your own money. You're investing the money that I've given you. And we said that every gift we have has been given to us by the Master, and he expects us to invest. And he didn't understand that when you invest your gift, you always get 100% return, that the risk had been removed. And what would you do with your gift if the risk had been removed? Investing with your finances is important. Investing with your talents is important. But there's one we're going to talk today. There's one non-renewable resource that you have. Time. If you had a bank account that credited your account each morning with $86,000 that had no carryover balance from day to day, it allowed you to keep no cash in your account, and every evening at midnight, it canceled whatever part of that amount you failed to use during the day, what would you do? You would go out and spend every last penny of that every day for your advantage. We have such a bank. It's called Time. And every morning, you're credited with 86,400 minutes, or seconds, I'm sorry, in that day. And every night, you lost whatever you didn't use for a good purpose. It carries over no balances. It doesn't allow overdrafts. Each day opens with a new account for you. And if you fail to use that day's deposits, the loss is yours. There's no going back. There's no drawing against tomorrow. It's a non-renewable resource for that day. It is also a gift of God given to everyone with an equal share. There's no 5 bags for you and 2 bags for you and 1 bag for you. Everybody gets the same amount, 24 hours, without prejudice. I saw an interview with a basketball executive right after Kobe Bryant died. And he was a man who was a part of an organization. He said he was there when Kobe was born, and he actually held him as a baby. This was his words on national TV. He says, God knows when we will be born, and God knows when we will die. And we have one opportunity between those dates to come to faith in Jesus Christ and to do something wonderful with our life. And we're given that opportunity. One opportunity only. Ephesians 5 opens up a new idea and a new sort of concept that's mentioned in Scripture, and I'd like to read it. And it's about redeeming time. Ephesians 5, verse 11. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. And that's why he says, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And he's talking about the contrast of the things that are done in the world, things that are evil, things that are hard, and that thing God will bring these things to light. So then he says to us, be careful then, very careful then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And it goes on to say some other things. One scripture, one verse says, one translation says, make the most of every time. It says, redeem the time. And it's a concept that's found in the Bible. Don't live carelessly, unthinkingly. Make sure you understand what the Master wants. We are called to redeem the days, the time, because the days are evil. And redemption is a beautiful spiritual concept. And I want to read it in the message because I think it's really interesting the way Eugene Peterson put it. He says, don't waste your time on useless work, mere busy work, the barren pursuits of darkness. Expose these things for the sham that they are. It's a scandal when people waste their lives on things they must do in the darkness where no one will see. Rip the cover off those frauds and see how attractive they look in the light of Christ. Wake up from your sleep. Climb out of your coffins. Christ will show you the light. So watch your step. Use your head. Make the most of every chance you get. These are desperate times. Don't live carelessly, unthinkingly. Make sure you understand what the Master wants. Don't drink too much wine that cheapens your life. Drink the Spirit of God, huge drafts of Him. Sing hymns instead of drinking songs. I like that. You know, I mean, it sort of takes a lot of the polkas out of our repertoire, right? Okay, fall out the barrel. You can't sing those songs anymore, right? So sing hymns instead of drinking songs. Sing songs from your heart to Christ. Sing praises over everything. An excuse for a song to God. Any excuse for a song to God the Father in the name of our Master Jesus Christ. That's good. That's flavorful. You ask why we sing like we do here? Because Christ is alive. And He's shown the light. And if that's true, man, you should sing. Like, sing loud. It's louder than you would a drinking song. You sing really loud, okay? That's what that scripture is talking about. Redeeming the time, redeeming the moments. It means to buy back something and return it to its intended purpose. We were intended to have a loving relationship with our Heavenly Father. That relationship was corrupted by sin and rebellion. So God sent His only Son not to condemn the world, but to save the world and redeem us back to that intentional purpose, the relationship with the Father. And Christ did that selflessly on the cross for our sins so that you could have fellowship with the Father. I believe the Father has given us enough time to carry out His plan for us. And if we don't have enough time, it's not that God hasn't allotted us enough time, but we need to take moments to redeem the time, which means to take and convert time into value, to recover and not waste your time. So I did some interesting research the last couple of days, and all these websites that I looked at give the same numbers. So we're going to look at what a typical person spends on their 79 years on this planet, sort of where it divides out. So based on 79 years, which is 28,835 days, in bed, you will spend 33 years of your life. 26 years sleeping and 7 years trying to get to sleep. I'm not so sure that those numbers are off. I know they're off with me because I spend a lot of time. Sleep is not necessarily my friend. My beautiful wife can sleep, boom, like that. She just falls asleep. It's a gift from God. I don't have that gift. So I bought a smartwatch. One of the main reasons I bought a smartwatch, it helps me track quality sleep. And it's what, you know, heart rate's supposed to be to a certain level, and you're not supposed to have restlessness. So I have a battery on this. It sort of shows me over the last 3 days, if I had a battery and sleep, you know, brought back my battery, where would my battery be like? And sometimes it can be 40% over 3 days. Once in a while, it gets up to 100. So 7 hours of quality sleep is where my battery is at equal. And my smartwatch every so often says this little note, you know, if you got more sleep, you'd probably have a healthier life, right? And I'm like, really? You think that's true, right? I mean, I didn't know that. Thank you for sharing that. So I try to do everything in my power to invest in quality sleeping time. It's important. And any medical professional will tell you the same thing. So employment over a 50-year career, you'll spend 13 years and 2 months of your life on the job and 2 years commuting. I think probably out here in the West Valley, maybe a little more than that. And so I suggest multitask that driving time. Listen to worship. Listen to podcasts. If you miss a Sunday, listen to our sermons. Find a way to invest in your spiritual development. Pray during these times where you just seem like you're driving back and forth. You'll spend 5 years and 9 months on food. 1 year and 3 months cooking it, and 4 years and 6 months eating it. There's a website, Diet Chef, suggested that women spend, not all, but 17 years during their lifetime dieting. And I thought, that's interesting, because if you take out childhood, it's about 25% of our life. And so I say invest in that. Invest in your health, in a proven assistance plan or healthy cooking things. And I've actually lost, I'm not saying this for, I've lost since Thanksgiving, before Thanksgiving, right? That's a demarcation, till now about 17 pounds. And I needed to, and my doctor said, how did you do it just recently? I said, well, I got an app for that. I bought an app that tracks calories and exercise, and I just religiously every day put in the numbers, and it sort of makes me understand why I didn't really get a lot of exercise or ate too much of this. And so I've invested, and he just said to me, he says, there's a lot of stuff out there that can help you, but over the long haul, that's just the best thing you can do, is know what you're going to eat, know what not to eat, and then get exercise. And if you can keep the weight down because of that, good job for you. And so I have an app for that. And there's also, we have in our church, it's really beautiful, some wonderful health coaches. And they really believe it's a ministry. So I really appreciate that. For sedentary, that means like not moving, you'll spend 235 days standing in line somewhere. If you go to Disneyland, that number goes up significantly, okay? Like 5,000. You'll spend 8 years and 4 minutes of your life watching TVs or movies. I think this is really off. I think it might be a little old. 3 years on social media. Some of you do the same thing at the same time. You're watching TV while you're doing this and the social media at the same time. But here's interesting. 27 years of your life will be sitting down. That's like 24-hour periods. So about 90% of most people's lives are spent indoors. I think in Arizona it's probably a little higher because of our weather. We can get out more often. My oldest daughter, Sarah, when she was 1 year old, we moved to Omaha, Nebraska, and then we were in Missouri for quite a while. And she was such an active child. But there were just months that we were indoors in these small houses that we owned. And when we moved back to Arizona when she was 4 or 5, it was like she'd been set free because she could just be outside all the time. Even in the summer, she was swimming. And so trying to find these moments, especially in this culture of our life today, where we get our kids outside, where we get our families outside and spend some time together, it's important. Active life, 180 days exercising over the span of your lifetime. So I figured that out. That's about, if you average it all out, it's like 9 minutes a day we spend exercising. I believe that investing in sleep, investing in healthy eating, and investing in exercise is really important, because if you don't take care of yourself, you'll never be mentally engaged when you're spending time with your wife or your children. You won't be mentally engaged when you're working. How many know that you're a little more cranky, a little snarky when you don't get the right amount of sleep? It can become that way. And so these things are healthy to really invest in, making the most of your spiritual and relational moments when you get the right rest. I'm getting ready to go out. Now, I'm really leery of saying these numbers, but I'm going to do it anyway. It says that men spend 46 days over the life of themselves getting ready to go out. And some of you are going, and it's very apparent. And women spend 136 days. And then I read, it says women added 287 days picking the right outfit. So you spend more time picking the right outfit than you get ready to go out. I don't know if that's true. I think this is true. I probably spend more time picking my outfit out than Judy does picking her outfit out. But she looks good in anything. And it's not even Valentine's Day. I said that, it's not even Valentine's Day, right? Relationships. We spend 1 year and 3 days socializing, 1 year and 30 days romancing. I won't go into that. I don't know what that means. But 115 days laughing over the life. It's important to invest in relationships so that when it's needed, you're making investments. That when your marriage hits a rough patch, when your children become teenagers, you invest so that when you need it, you have a relational bank account and you can make a withdrawal. Valentine's Day is a yearly reminder to invest in our relationships. Mother's Day, invest in that relationship. Father's Day, invest. Thanksgiving, Christmas. These are all wonderful reminders that relationships are important and we need to invest in them. So if you did the math here and you're average, you have 19 non-sleeping hours per week available to you, which is only 2.7 hours per day. 2.7 hours a day for church and prayer and devotion and spiritual development. 19 hours per week for your kids' sports teams or their hobbies or volunteering at their schools. 19 hours per week for giving to charitable causes or serving others. And so what happens in this world that we live in, we hear phrases like this: I'd serve more, but I just don't have the time. I volunteer at my kids' school, but I just don't have the time. I would attend more church events or Bible studies, but I just don't have the time. I'd read my Bible more, I'd pray more, but I just don't have the time. I'd take a vacation, but I just don't have the time. And so as believers, we must decide where we will invest this precious commodity and what investments will give eternal returns. Because that's what we're about, investing. This is what Paul is talking about when he talks about redeeming the time. So much more now, the days, I believe, are evil. Today, men and women are overbooked and overscheduled and overcommitted, not having enough time. That precious commodity that has been allotted to us by God, it's a gift of His. He entrusted us with 24 hours a day to use as wise stewards. I've been in the room where many people are transitioning their life into the afterlife. I've sat there, I've been with family. I've never heard anyone yet say, I wish I had more money. I wish I had worked harder and longer to get more stuff. I wish I'd been more selfish with my time and spent it on me. Never heard that. You know what I've heard them say? I wish I had more time to spend on my loved ones. I wish I had more time making an impact in this world. And my favorite is, I've seen it several times, when people transition with so much peace that the life that they lived was an honor to their family and to God. And I've seen, it's just a transition that they're ready for in peace. My first spiritual mentor that I had in faith was so conscious of redeeming time, he took this next scriptural literally, James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why? You do not even know what tomorrow will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it's sin for them. He was so conscious of this in the scripture. Now, this was before organizers. You remember the organizers used to carry around with little calendars? And this is before then. This is before cell phones and smartwatches and before you could send somebody a notice about a calendar event that you were going on. This was before cell phones, so you couldn't call this. In fact, when I lived in Arkansas, we were way up in the Ozarks. Some of you know what I'm talking about. This shows how old I am. We had a party phone line. Anybody ever grow up with a party phone line? Yeah. So there were three people on that phone line, three houses. And when it rang differently. You go, oh, that's not for me. That's for Fred down the street, right? You could listen in on their conversations if you wanted to, but that's another point. So my mentor would never set up a solid date or time for anything. And I say, hey, can we meet Monday for whatever reason? He said, probably, maybe, if the Lord is willing. And then he added this, and the creek don't rise. In other words, if God allows me that day and something physically doesn't keep me from doing that, I'll be there. And so that day you would wait to see whether or not he would show up. He was so literal with his time that just in case that day God tells me to do something, I may not make it. That's how literal he was. I don't ever remember him ever actually not making a meeting. But he was so conscious of it. He would never give away his time without being directed by the Lord. The Lord always provides everything we need in life. And we need to be content with the Lord's provisions. And I truly believe the Lord has provided everything, every person we need in this church to fulfill our mission to our children and to our teenagers and to our community and to the marriages and to the families and to doing God's will, not only here, but God's mission in the world. But God did also something very sneaky. He made us dependent on one another, on our time and on our talents. And each of us has a role to play. We need to play it well, or we all suffer. And I want to read that to you in 1 Corinthians 12. And God did this on purpose. 1 Corinthians 12, 17. If the whole body were an eye, it's talking about the body or the church, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed, we have to believe this, the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. And if they were all one part, where would the body be? Which means we need to celebrate diversity, not only in gifts and talents, but thoughts and ideas. And if we're all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. It's going on the fact that in verse 24 we read, while we are present, while our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, if one part doesn't do their job, if one part says, I don't have the time, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ and each one of you is a part of it. I just want to say that here. You are the body of Christ and each one of you is a part of it. We must all do our part. We must all invest financially and with time. We need to be accountable to one another. Why? Because the days are evil. That's why. And we need God's light to shine and reveal things that would want to tear people's lives apart. We must redeem the time so that God will use our lives to produce fruit that will last eternally. Invest in your health. Invest in time resting. But please do not let investing in God's kingdom take second place to everything else. That's my prayer for you today. If that happens, we will be a fully functioning, well-oiled church. Amen? Let's stand and pray. Let the worship team come forward. Father, I present to you my hands and my feet and my mouth and my time to direct as you would. Let me understand that my plans are to be under your influence. So I give them to you. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, my God. May I walk in a way that brings light to the darkness. May I walk in a way that brings health to my family and life to my children. I thank you for every moment that you give me. Every moment to whisper and I love you to someone. Every moment to tell somebody about how you changed my life and how you can change theirs. So give me ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit of God is doing. And may I respond with courage, redeeming the time. I pray that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Two more things I want to share. One of them, at 10:15, which is, you know, you can get your kids, come back if you want to. We have our annual business meeting, according to bylaws. We do it public. It's just really letting you know about last year's finances and some of the things we're going to do in the future. You can ask a question if you want to. That'll be at 10:15, so you can come back to that. The second thing is, I was standing here, I really feel like the Lord wants you to speak this. I think there's a moment when we situations like this that we can look back during a period of our time and go, man, I really wasted, that was a waste of time in my life, that relationship or that period of my time. And I've seen people that walk around with a cloud over themselves because of that. And they miss out on a lot of opportunities of today. And this is what I tell you, the Lord can redeem that time as well. The time you thought, well, I wasted my time, He can redeem that. And He can show you what you learn from that. I mean, there's so many things the Lord can do that. But that's just a redeemable moment. And our Father redeems everything. So I'm just want to let you know, you can let that go, all right? That cloud, you can just let that thing go. And God will redeem that time for the future. That's what I want to say. Have a great day. God bless.
This has been a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit streamschurch.org.